Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer expert advice and have candid conversations to unlock more pleasure in and out of your bedroom. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about lust versus disgust. But before we dive in, remember to visit us at pleasuremechanics.com to explore our full podcast archive. Go to pleasuremechanics.com/free and sign up for the Erotic Essentials so we can deliver our best sex advice and favorite podcast episodes straight to your inbox. And we also give you a lot of little sex advice challenges so you can put things into practice right away in your daily life and start seeing results in your sex life. And when you are ready to master new erotic skills, check out our multimedia online mastery courses so you can explore skills like couples massage or foreplay or anal play or spanking or kinky sex. There's the whole galaxy of options awaiting you. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. Speaking of anal sex, we get a lot of emails from people that talk about disgust. And there's a few themes. One is, my partner's breath never used to bother me, and now I find kissing him gross, and I feel just disgusted by him, and I don't know what this is about. Should we get a divorce? Or, my partner wants more oral sex, but I find it disgusting. Or, my girlfriend is really disgusted by the sight of semen, and this really bothers me, and how can I make her enjoy it more? Things like that. So this idea, this relationship between disgust and sex. And I turned to the research. I did some reading about this, and it turns out that scientists are also really fascinated with this relationship between disgust and arousal. Because if you think about it, there seems to be a paradox between the mechanics of disgust and the mechanics of arousal. Disgust, they talk about within the science community, you know, those white lab coat people, as an extension of our immune system. So it is an emotion that is supposed to protect us from getting sick. And so we find ourselves disgusted at things like infected pus and diseased boils and poop and saliva and sweat. These things and rotten food. Right? So it's these things that might trigger an infection or a disease of some sort. And so we have this recoiling emotion in response to these things. And this seems to be a pretty universal human emotion, the emotions of disgust. In contrast to that, we have arousal, which is supposed to bring us closer to someone and want to swap fluids and bond bodies and get all up in someone else's business. And so how in the evolution of the human species did these things relate? Like, how did we ever get to kissing one another when kissing can lead to disease? How did we ever get to knocking our genitals against one another when that is ripe for infection? Right? So it turns out that the more aroused you are, the less disgust response you have. There seems to be an inverse relationship between when you're aroused, you find things less disgusting. And this turns out to be very handy. So I think the science, and I'll pull out a few more tidbits from the research, I think what it shows us is that disgust is a very real human emotion. But we need to manage it and understand its relationship to sexuality so it doesn't get in the way of our pleasure. But when I say disgust is universal, that doesn't mean we all experience disgust in the same way, around the same things, or to the same degree.
Right. And how this becomes useful to you is in understanding what you find disgusting and how you can manage it. Each one of us is going to be turned off by really different things. And it does become our responsibility to communicate that with our partners, to try and create a space where we can allow our turn-ons to be bigger than our turnoffs. So this is really related to the brakes and accelerator model that we've talked about in other podcasts.
The dual control model of arousal, where your turn-ons are your gas, your turn-offs are your brakes, and you learn to manage them. Go check out that episode in our archives. So let's get personal. What are you disgusted by?
Do not put feet on my pillow.
Uh-huh.
Feet and pillows
should not mix.
My bed is sacred, holy, clean space.
Yeah, you don't even want, like, if I've been out in the world, I can't get in bed with my clothes on.
No.
You have at-home clothes and out-in-the-world clothes.
Yeah, I have some hygiene things going on, for sure, that I have to manage so they don't get too excessive. And if I just want to be turned on, I just have to communicate that, and it just has to be so.
Yeah, and you'll clean the sheets, you'll change your pillowcase. If you feel like kind of your holy, sacred bed zone has been infiltrated.
Yes. Yeah. Hygiene. Showers. I like to have showers. I like you to have showers. I like us to have showers before we get intimate. It just calms my mind. It just takes a break. It really, that is so helpful. It just takes these concerns away, and then I just don't think about it.
So it relieves some pressure off your brake pedal.
Yeah, I can just focus on being turned on instead of being a little bit turned off.
And so for me, sound is a big thing. I don't like the sound of chewing. I don't like the sound of swallowing. So often we'll play music during meals.
Can you believe that she's turned off by the sound of me chewing? Not even just me, just anyone.
Anyone.
But I am your partner. And so, I mean, we are all just such weird freaks. Every single person has their own
story. But I don't mind poop at all. Like, I would touch a stranger's poop with no hesitation. Where other people, like, poop is the most disgusting thing.
Right.
I was talking to a nurse when I was in the hospital, never forget this, and she was helping me take all of my IVs off when I was about to get released from the hospital. And I was asking her, like, you know, I think like one of them was bleeding or something, like, you know, go, wow, you're really intimate with people's bodies. Like, does that bother you? And she was like, no, I don't mind it at all. But I hate flaking skin.
Huh.
And so someone who has dry skin, and if it's flaking off and I feel like I'm inhaling it, I have like a panic attack and I have to call in another nurse.
Oh no.
Right. So I would love to survey 100 nurses about all of the fluids and skin things and they have to deal with and what their things are. Because I think this is what's fascinating. And in the research, what emerged from the research is that there are people with high thresholds for disgust and low thresholds for disgust. And this is science's way of acknowledging a spectrum, which for science is a good thing, right? To even build into the studies that there could be difference amongst individuals. Good for them. But it's not that simple even, right? We all have high and low thresholds for disgust for every single different kind of bodily function and different thing. Some people can deal with like maggots and rotting meat, no problem. Other people, that would haunt them for days, right? And so how we need to put this into play is to kind of, again, do an inventory, be honest with yourself, and start even like a mental list of what are the things that trigger your disgust mechanism, and then how might you be able to manage them and communicate them to your partner in a way that doesn't blame them for having a body and functions,
right?
But takes ownership of that. And so if farting just really turns you off, and your partner knows that, they can make an effort, and it won't be perfect. They'll fart in front of you eventually, but they can make an effort to go in another room, where another couple might fart in front of each other and be like, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's not an issue.
And it doesn't interfere with their sex life. Someone else, it might be saliva and teeth brushing. Someone else, it might be the smell of any poo, and if they want to play with anal stimulation, they have to know that area is squeaky clean. Other people, it might not phase them at all. And having this conversation, this is kind of an advanced conversation to have in a relationship. This isn't first date material. But if you're going to share a lifetime of sex with someone, you want to be clear about these things and have it be an open, ongoing conversation, so you can take that pressure off of one another's brake pedals as best as you can and have a sense of humor about it. And so if, like, you're chewing in front of me and it's something particularly crunchy, like fried chicken or something, like, I will own my disgust and be like, I gotta move away. Sorry. And we can laugh about it because it's my hang up.
Right. This is key when you're making your request. Because so first you got to identify what you specifically are turned off by, disgusted by, and have compassion for yourself. We are all a bunch of strange weirdos that have our own
fluids and flakes.
So just know that you're part of the human community and we all have our things. And then you want to communicate with your partner. And I feel like taking responsibility that it's your thing and that they are not disgusting is really essential in how you communicate.
Yep.
So I just learned about this dual control model of turn on, turn off, if you want to be dorky about it. And I've just figured out that this one thing really kind of turns me off a bit. And it's nothing to do with you, but when you do it, I feel a little bit turned off. I'm wondering if you could work with me and maybe not do this, especially when we're trying to get ready to have sex, or maybe just in general, because it really helps me feel closer to you, or, you know, I don't know, whatever your language is. But just this kind of communicating that it is your thing, not their thing, and would they mind working with you around this?
And then what are their things? You have to be open to hearing how you need to manage your bodily functions to better arouse them. And so what we're talking here about is the disgust before arousal mechanism. And so what these studies found is if people were shown images of disgusting things and then shown pornography, they got a lot less aroused.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an even stronger mechanism than being shown things that triggered fear. So one study showed women who were exposed to disgusting images before watching an erotic film were 3 times less sexually aroused than those who had seen frightening images, or those in the control group. So we often think of fear as a major pressure on the brake pedal, but it turns out that disgust is even more so. And so we can manage our disgust mechanisms to try to get more aroused. The other thing these studies point to is that things you would find disgusting in ordinary life, you might be able to enjoy or participate in when you are aroused. And so if you think about something like rimming, the studies all use kissing. So let's start there. The idea of kissing and like mashing your tongues together and swapping saliva with just any stranger can feel kind of disgusting. Like, I don't really want their tongue in my mouth. But when it's someone you're turned on by and someone you choose to be intimate with, kissing all of a sudden becomes a turn on and something sweet and loving and sexy even. Right? And so the difference between just thinking about it critically versus doing it with someone you have that bonding hormone going with makes all the difference. I take this to rimming, right? Sticking your tongue not in someone's mouth, but in their butthole. If you just think about that in day-to-day life, most people, that would trigger a disgust response. Like, I don't want my tongue anywhere near poop. And that makes sense in this evolutionary way of poop can contain pathogens and parasites, and we shouldn't eat poop. And there's something in the human body that knows that. But when you're aroused and your partner is really aroused, and perhaps they've taken a shower and it's not super present, you can override that disgust mechanism and quite enjoy licking and stimulating the anal area. And for some people, and this gets into where the studies do not go, some people get turned on by the disgusting. Mm. Some people get turned on by scat play, they call it. They like rimming even if it's dirty. And the really extreme fetish of this is like, you know, full Charlotte's, you see, your disgust mechanism is triggered. It is.
Yeah.
Some people want to be fully exposed to bodily fluids. They want to be pissed on. They want to drink piss. I'll take it away from the scat for you. Then on to the...
Okay, well, just everyone, please pay attention to hygiene. There are all sorts of health things if this interests you and you want to play with it.
Yes, we are not recommending eating poop, but my point is, some people, that turns them on.
Yeah.
And so that arousal disgust mechanism is really close in our brain, and these things that repulse us can also excite us.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of us, how this applies to your sex life is if your partner brings up something like anal play, and your first response is like, ew, what about the poop? Which for a lot of people, it's the poop and the pain that block them from wanting to try any sort of anal play. And what we know is that anal play never has to be painful. There are techniques that we can show you that can make it 100% pleasurable 100% of the time. So that doesn't have to be a concern. But what about the poop? And what I encourage people to do is to not think about it so rationally and to know that when they're in the height of arousal, when they're being stimulated in this area and getting all this exquisite touch and all those nerve endings are firing and they're feeling aroused, you won't be thinking about the poop. And if you encounter a little bit of poop, it's not going to be a huge deal because this mechanics of disgust is quieted by your arousal. But if you're really thinking about the disgust, if you're hung up there, you won't be able to get aroused enough to kick in that mechanism. Mm. So it becomes this cycle. And so for a lot of people, taking care of the hygiene and taking a shower and learning how to prepare the area can quiet down that disgust mechanism to the point where the arousal can kick in, quiet it down even further, and it becomes a non-issue.
Great. You manage the concerns so that they become more invisible.
So you can't lead with the disgust. The thing around oral sex and bodily fluids and semen, again, part of it is just like exposure therapy, where you might feel anxiety and disgust around it, and you have to override that enough to be close to it and to feel your partner getting aroused and to enjoy them being aroused and to get aroused yourself. And then find yourself in the presence of a new load of ejaculate and realize it's not so bad. And if you're really disgusted by ejaculate, you can, you know, distance yourself from a little bit. So maybe you do oral sex and then finish off with your hands. And so it's not right in your face. It's not right in your mouth, but it's on your hands. And then you can like look at it a little bit and be like, oh, it's, you know, not that bad. Or you smell it, or maybe even dip your tongue in it, or whatever your level of comfort is, and you can kind of slowly acclimatize to the presence of the fluid or the body part you're finding disgusting. Because I think it is important to manage these things and not let them hijack your sex life. Like, I'm not sure it's fair for your disgust around ejaculate to mean that your partner never gets oral sex. And that can be a deal breaker in a relationship. And so if you can learn to manage it, if you can learn to take these baby steps towards overriding your disgust and allowing the arousal to kick in, it may benefit your relationship in a long term.
Yes, and I feel like there's a risky way of doing that where you don't want to be overriding what feels comfortable and where your no is, but also how can you comfortably slowly get more comfortable. So I think that's it's a...
Well, that's what I'm saying. If your no is, there's no way you're ejaculating in my mouth,
that's fine.
That's fine. But maybe you can do a little bit of oral sex and allow the ejaculate to fall somewhere else on your body. And that's what I mean about kind of the exposure therapy. And you may find in the presence of your partner's arousal, once your anxiety has been lessened, it doesn't feel as scary.
Great. Just, this is totally side. I feel like I've seen a lot of ejaculate in my life as an erotic masseuse. I really want to encourage men to hydrate. It is a really simple thing that makes such a huge difference to the quality of ejaculate. Just a random sidebar. The end. Just wanted to put that in there.
Well, this gets into the evolutionary theories around disgust. Like some people would say that ejaculate is more disgusting if the man is not healthy.
There is such a huge range of what ejaculate looks like.
And smells like.
And texture. I mean, it's just phenomenal, actually.
Right. And I don't think we have the research to make these correlations of overall health and how the ejaculate presents itself and triggers the disgust response. But we do see these patterns of, like all bodily fluids, it benefits with a little extra hydration. Smoking is a huge one for ejaculate smell and taste. We are digressing a bit.
We are totally. Sorry. I just think it's one we hear from women that, like, people are grossed out by ejaculate. And we understand that bodily fluids can bring up a lot. But they are also sacred, gorgeous fluids that, if it's someone that you want to be connecting with, that... Yes, there is some benefit in trying to begin to see the holy.
Yeah. We did an episode once on facials and are facials degrading and how facials can actually be sacred. And that's actually been picked up by a few articles. We've been quoted
that's true.
In a few places. I think it was even like Cosmo or something.
Yeah, it was like talking about the holiness of facials. I was like, oh my goodness. That's when we're not going to show our moms, you know?
Speaking of women, though, so one of the things the research reveals is that women have a much stronger disgust response in general and specifically sexually than men. And so this is, you know, one of these gendered points of research, and we can argue the gender binary, but I think a lot of women write to us worried that their partner is disgusted by their, you know, they have one ingrown hair from shaving their pubes. And it's a little red bump, and they refuse to let their partner anywhere near their vulva until that bump heals. Mm. It's this heightened paranoia of their partner's disgust about their body. And then this translates into, I have cellulite, they'll be disgusted. One of my breasts is bigger than the other, they'll be disgusted.
I have fat rolls.
Right. Yeah. So this overall body shame gets paralleled with the disgust response. And this is one of the places I see the golden rule backfiring. So this idea of do unto others as they would do unto you, and you kind of project your experience onto other people. There's a few areas in sex this can be really damaging. And I think a lot of women assume that men are having a much stronger disgust response than they actually are.
Because they have a strong disgust response themselves.
Because they're having it themselves. Yeah. And so their disgust is projected onto men. They're worried about men being disgusted by them. That's their greatest fear. And so they shut down access to their body. They shut down desire. They shut down how attractive they feel out of fear of being disgusted.
Where there is not as there's not really evidence that men are disgusted by these things.
Right.
It is.
So men have a disgust response. Sure. They might be disgusted by things like poop or pus or these things. But I've never talked to a man that's disgusted by one breast being larger than the other.
Or disgusted by the fat on a woman.
Or disgusted by fat thighs.
I'm sure that they exist, but they are very rare.
Yeah.
Those men who feel that are very rare.
Yeah. And most men would love to be with a woman of any size who's feeling aroused, who's getting into sex, who's enthusiastic about sex, who's unashamed of her body. Right, like who's exploring desire and expressing arousal. Like, that's what we hear from men. I very, very... I don't think I've really ever had a conversation with men who are disgusted by how fat jiggles, and that's a huge turnoff for them. It's just not that common. We all have our preferences around bodies and all that stuff. But, like, it's just, I think, a huge paranoia for women. And what the research shows us is that this mechanics, the mechanics of disgust and how that interplays with sex and bodily fluids, is stronger for women. And there's theories about the evolution of this. And it's more at stake for a woman to get pregnant by a man who has a disease, stuff like that. So we might be more sensitive to the health of a body and what the fluids and presentations represent.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the whole evolutionary thing around sex, like evolutionary biology, I have a lot of problems with it because I think it really cuts out the influence of culture a lot, but it does have some interesting things to say. I dabble. The gender binary is strong in that field. I got in a lot of fights with my professor when I was in a evolutionary biology class. We digress yet again. But this whole conversation about disgust and how it interplays with your arousal is yet another invitation to do some self-reflection and be honest with yourself about how is this part of who you are as a human being, your ability to feel disgust, how it's triggered, what it's triggered by. How does that part of you influence your sex life? And when we can be honest about these things and take a step back and make that assessment, and then figure out how we want to manage that, both by owning our own shit, by owning our own experience of our body, by managing our turn-ons and our turn-offs, and communicating what we need from our partner in order to get more aroused, and by not shutting opportunities for pleasure off out of fear of being disgusted. And I'm very much an advocate of anal play. It's this huge erogenous area for both men and women. It can unlock so much pleasure, amazing orgasms. And the main reason people hesitate to explore it is disgust around poop. And poop can be managed.
Right. It's very manageable.
It's so manageable. And we both have had our fingers in a lot of buttholes as professional prostate massage experts and just as lovers. Mm-hmm. And I can only think of one or two experiences where it interrupted, where poop interrupted the pleasure of it out of thousands of experiences. And even those, it was kind of like, okay, this went a little awry. It's like getting a Charlie horse during sex or something. Like, it interrupted the sex, but we managed it, we dealt with it, and then we laughed about it later. It wasn't something that was earth-shattering, terrible, scary, right? It's just a little bit of poop.
Right, but I mean, people have such different, as we've said, different experiences.
Poop's not a huge deal for me, but well, I guess my bigger point there was in all of those thousands of experiences, most of the time, it was a complete non-issue.
Yeah.
We had prepared for it. It was trace amounts, if any. Like, it just wasn't there. And to think of how many people are restricting their sexual experience and letting disgust rule their arousal instead
of... Or fear of disgust.
Fear Not of even, disgust, right. It's like the anticipation of something bad happening. It's like never go on vacation because you think your plane might crash. Like... never get leaving your house. Like, it's like, it's a paralyzing anxiety.
Yeah, that we culturally experience and repeat and support.
And so by understanding and having a little bit of a saner relationship and honoring disgust for what it is, like, you don't eat that meat that's crawling with maggots for a reason.
Right, right.
Okay, so we know that, like, it's there for a reason, it supports us, it's useful, but we need to put it in its place.
Yeah.
All right. We'd love to hear from you what you find disgusting. Not really. I mean, if it's useful to write to us and talk to us about this, we're open to it.
And if you're interested in anal play of any sort and you want to figure out how to manage your disgust, we talk all about that in those courses. And they're beautiful.
So there's one for women and one for men about prostate stimulation. And yeah, they are fabulous courses. Check them out at pleasuremechanics.com. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off and you will be on your way to anal bliss and prostate orgasms and all of the pleasure that can afford you. And yes, we give you explicit lessons in managing the hygiene of it, so it is a non-issue.
And you can just get on with the pleasure.
Get on with the arousal. Mm-hmm. All right, so in the battle of lust versus disgust...
Who's going to win in your bedroom?
Lust knocks out arousal. Yeah. Lust knocks out disgust. Ding, ding. I'm not a boxing fan. I have no idea. But there's a ding in there somewhere. All right. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.